This man is known as the Antichrist. Now, John writes, there are many Antichrists in the world, of course. Anybody who's Antichrist is Antichrist, small a, you know, lowercase. There are many Antichrists. There are many enemies of Christ, many who oppose Christ. Many of them are in religion. False forms of Christianity abounds with people who say they represent Christ, but they are Antichrist. They are false Christs, just like false teachers and false prophets abound in the realm of the truth, because that's where Satan wants to do his work, inside the church, if you will. So there are many Antichrists, but there will be a final Antichrist, uppercase, capital A. A man unlike any before him will rise to power in the world. He is described in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as the man of lawlessness. There are many lawless men, and there are many destructive men. But this son of destruction is the final personification of evil in a massive, massive way. A Satan-inspired, Satan-indwelt, Satan-filled. He becomes the enemy of the people of God at the end of human history, and leads a rebellion which Christ crushes in his second coming.
Thanks for that, John, and thanks to you for listening today to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more in-depth teaching from 2 Thessalonians, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
I'm Ruth Kramer with Mission Network News. Islamic terrorists continue to rampage in northern Mozambique, where UN authorities report more than 780,000 displaced people in the country. Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs USA says the group's allegiance to ISIS reveals that they want to establish an Islamic State. Christians are being ruthlessly killed, but the media is not paying attention. Pray for those who've chosen to stay behind for the sake of Christ. Then Jesus told the disciples to pray for more workers for the harvest. But how can the next generation prepare for ministry? Hannah Thompson with One Way Ministry says they give an opportunity every summer for young adults to grow both professionally and spiritually through community, discipleship, and practical ministry experience. Young Christians learn how to use their gifts to serve the kingdom of God. Applications are open till May 15th for the summer program. Find your place in the story at missionnews.org. Mission Network News is a service of One Way Ministries. I'm Ruth Kramer.
Ignition sequence time. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit liftoff.
Buddy Doug McCary coming to you live on this Tuesday afternoon. And we are glad you have tuned in with us this afternoon. We've got a busy week ahead, and we are thrilled to have you join us. You can call us. We always mention this, but very few take us up on it. I think it's one of the things that makes SWAT Radio a little unique in that we're not only expositing or teaching the Word of God, but we invite you to be a part of the conversation.
Well, yeah. And you know, Brad, I mean, how many times have you literally think back over your vast lifetime as a believer?
Vast.
Okay. Let's go back at least just till you were a believer.
Right.
How many times have you been listening to a message or teaching and you just want to say, hey, I got a question?
Oh, I mean, you know what? I think it's more times than not. I mean, when you dig deep into the Word of God, which it's, we've talked about it over and over and over again, we cannot plumb the depths of God's Word. And so we are oftentimes left to go, man, this is deep.
Yeah,
I think about the times when you have taught. I mean, you even said it last week. Is, you know, you've covered this particular text, by the way, that we'll be looking at again today.
Mm-hmm.
You've taught it. You've studied it. You've meditated. You've memorized on it. And yet every time you get into it, mm-hmm. I believe it's one of the things, and I'm curious if you do the same. Do you pray when you open the Word of God to prepare to study it and to ultimately teach it?
Yeah.
And I think as we pray, God, show me what I need to see. I've heard it said that the Word of God is a map and it's a mirror. And you know, it's a map in that it shows us how to live life, but it's, to me, it's first a mirror in that it exposes my life and whether or not my life lines up with God's Word. And so I think, you know, one of the benefits of SWAT Radio is we want to invite you, the listener, as Doug exposits it and as we discuss it, to jump in on the conversation. Call us, 844-777-7928, and it's a great text.
Yeah, really, here's the way we kind of do it right now is on the first segment, we kind of look at things going on in our culture, and you're welcome to call in then. And the last segment, when we kind of wrapped up the day, that's a good time. Usually the second and third segments are pretty full. So, but we want you to feel free to call in or send a question. And, you know, if you're not comfortable getting on the air, you can just email Doug@SWATradio.com or ask is better. That pops right up, ask@SWATradio.com. And we'll try to address the question. But if you want to be on air and ask a question or even make a comment, we welcome that. And so just call Jeremy. We'll take the call, and he'll get you on. Hey, I wanted to remind our listeners who might have heard yesterday, but Nancy Piercy, who's a professor out in Houston, wrote a book called The Toxic, well, she's written several books, but her most recent book is The Toxic War on Masculinity. And, you know, she wrote another book called How Now Shall We Live. She co-authored that with Chuck Colson.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And another book called Total Truth. Her books have been translated into about 19 languages, and she's a professor out at Houston Christian University, which used to be HBU, right? Is that right?
I believe that's true. I'll need to verify
but
that.
But here's what's fascinating about Professor Piercy. She's a former agnostic, and since coming to faith, God brought her into the kingdom and has deployed her as he does with people he brings into the kingdom, right? He brings you in to then deploy you. And she's had opportunities to go out and speak at Princeton, Stanford, USC, Dartmouth, and other Ivy League and what you would consider elite schools as far as academics. And those are tough environments to go into, Brad. I mean, you know, to go into that environment speaking about Jesus, speaking about the truth of the Bible, you're going to get met with a lot of mocking, a lot of laughter. In fact, you may even get canceled today. But she's been quoted in a lot of different magazines. The Economist, you're familiar with The Economist?
Oh, yeah.
Says she's America's preeminent evangelical Protestant female intellectual. I mean, that's she just is really gifted in being able to think through stuff. And she wrote this book called Toxic War on Masculinity and really has done a great job in it. I told you yesterday, I'm about a third of the way through. And she deals with the whole subject of, what does it mean to be the head in the home? Like, we've had a warped view of that in a lot of ways in our culture. And what does it mean to submit? Well, she goes through and talks about those issues of roles in the marriage and how God defined them there. And the thing that she does other than bringing the scripture out is she has done a lot of analytical research. sociological research that has pretty much validated that, you know what, you do it God's way, and that's the way that produces the healthy marriages.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not you don't see Christian men who really love the Lord who are wife beaters. That's basically why, I mean, I'm just putting it really in a blunt way, but that's what she says. Now, that's not to say that there are not guys out there that profess to love the Lord that may be abusive, but there's a lot of posers in our culture. And, you know, you and I have been drilling down on the Evangelion for the last year almost. It's almost been a year.
It has.
And the more I teach it, the more I speak about it, the more I'm convicted that man, we have not promoted that element of the gospel over the years. And so what we've got is a lot of posers out there, people that say they love Jesus, but in reality, they don't live following him. And it's not perfection. We're not talking about perfection.
Not. Yeah. But that the word of God is not just knowledge. It's not just information. It's information that by God's grace will lead to transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need God's Spirit in salvation, but we need God's Spirit in sanctification as well. Mm-hmm. That sanctification comes by way of God's Word. Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so oftentimes, listen, I want to live holy. I want to live a holy life. Our listeners probably feel the same way. But that won't happen apart from God's Word. And we need God's Word. We need God's Word if we're going to be the husbands that God has called us to be, if we're going to be the fathers that God has called us to, if we're going to be the men that God has called us to be.
Mm-hmm.
I need the Word of God, I need the Spirit of God, and I need men of God to be in my life.
Well, and that's what these social sciences have played out, and that's what she talks about, that the family men who are regularly in a body of believers and who come across as the loving husbands who are engaged with their family, they're engaged with other believers who help with accountability, they have the lowest rate of divorce and the lowest rate of domestic violence of any group in America. I mean, that that's verified by these facts that you've got. So that's very different. You know, that's why, you know, when you read articles like the Washington Post, Why Can't We Hate Men? Or, you know, a book that says, I hate men. No, there are no good men. And are men necessary? I mean, there's been an attack on masculinity. And she goes through and talks about biblical masculinity, what it looked like versus what our culture and really how the Industrial Revolution changed it all for everybody. So it's going to be good. She'll be our guest Thursday. So I hope that you'll be able to join us for that. I think it'll be encouraging for you.
Amen.
And even if you're a lady, you listen, because she is very insightful about it and brings out a lot of good that I think, I mean, it's a good book to read, has a lot of good insight. So.
Well, you've probably heard the statistics. I know we'll take a break here before we jump into the Word. I was pulling up I was thinking about the statistic about when the father comes to Christ. You know, if you look at the lineup of a family, you know, a wife, a father, a father, a wife, children, that when the father commits to following Christ, the statistics are like there's a 93% probability that everyone else in the household will follow.
Yes.
That was 2003.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the headline of this particular article from the Baptist Press says, want your church to grow, then bring in the men.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. And Tony Evans always said that if you want to reach a country, you got to reach the state. If you want to reach the state, you got to reach the city. If you want to reach a city, you got to reach the community. If you want to reach a community, you got to reach the church. And if you want to reach the church, you got to reach the man, yeah. the family, yeah, the family. Man. And he takes it down to that. And, you know, it's funny to even think about having to reach the church. But
well,
there's
true.
A lot of there's
it's
a lot true. Of church unbelievers out
yeah,
there.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, I was thinking, I think it's in Acts 6, verse 7. It talks about that even the preachers, even the priest became obedient to the faith.
Yeah.
What a statement that is, that even the priest became obedient to the faith. Then you look back in the Old Testament and the number of priests, you know, that carried that label, carried that identity, were without faith.
Yeah.
And our churches are full of people that don't have faith.
They are. And, you know, you it's easy to see when you go, I was listening to Tommy not too long ago talk about, you know, you can tell. I mean, we don't have psychic ability to tell. We don't have this supernatural ability unless God gives it at that moment. But you can tell when people aren't engaged mm-hmm. with God. And that maybe it's just that they're spiritually sick.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a desire to read the Bible, if you don't have a desire to be around the body of believers, people that are authentic believers, truly surrendered to Jesus Christ, if that's not a desire within you, if you don't have a desire to be led by the Spirit every day, at the very least, you're spiritually sick. And you may be spiritually dead. And to call that to question, Paul says, examine yourself. See if you're in the faith.
Yeah. Amen. You know? So good. All right. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. You're welcome again to call, preferably during the third or fourth segment, 844-777-7792-8, 844-777-SWAT. You can email us at ask@swatradio.com, ask@swatradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store, or over the internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, serving Kings Bay at 91.3.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose. And right now I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Wednesday afternoon. Glad you tuned in. And you know, I want to encourage you, as always, love having you tune in here to SWAT Radio. But we want to invite you to come to one of the SWAT Bible studies in person. And we were just talking about the importance of being in community. Listen, if we are in a right vertical relationship with God, that should lead us into a horizontal relationship with man. And that takes place as we open the Word of God and we gather together to study His Word together. And if you are not plugged in horizontally to a Bible study, that's all it is. It is a gathering of men where we open the Word of God and we study it. And so just go to swatradio.com, click on the meetings tab. You'll see that we get started tomorrow at Ponte Vedra Beach.
Yep, out at
6:30.
The YMCA off Landrum. Yeah,
the Brown YMCA out in Ponte Vedra. We gather here at lunchtime at noon at the Salem Center off Bentley Road.
Yep.
And then you've got a Thursday morning study that meets at Jumpin' Jack's House of Food over off Belfort Road next to the Wounded Warrior Project. And then there's a Thursday Zoom call. You can get on that call. You'll see guys from all over the country who tune in there. And then there's a Friday morning study that meets down in St. Augustine. Pick one that's close to you and then come join us in person. I'm excited, Doug, to get back into the text in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. We're going to be looking this week at the destructive power of darkness. We're going to look at the life-giving power of the light, and then we're going to look at the two responses of man to the light.
Yeah, you know, this text is unlike any other text in the Bible. You know, I mean, it really is standalone-ish in that you see this encounter of Jesus with a host of demons. We're not just talking one demon.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking a host of demons. You know, and you've got people out there who say they don't believe in that. They don't believe in spiritual warfare. I shared yesterday, when I was in Russia, I witnessed a demon-possessed person. It was weird, spooky, like, I mean, that it is evil. I mean, the entity inside that person was evil. You had possibly thousands of demons in this person, utilizing their body as a host, because demons can't take form.
Mm-hmm.
They can't take a human form. They have to be in a human, right?
Yeah.
And so Jesus said they wander. If he cast them out of one and you don't get the right spirit in there, if his spirit isn't in there, seven of them will come back, he says. And so this man had many demons inside of him that gave him supernatural strength to break chains, to break shackles, to terrorize people, so much so he lived in a graveyard. They isolated him out there, and they wouldn't go by there, according to Matthew.
And it says no one could bind him.
No one could subdue him.
Yeah.
Now, that's scary. I mean, when you think about that, the evilness of demons inside of somebody with the strength to break chains and shackles. And what is Satan about? Death, destruction, lying, pain, torment. And so we covered the destructive power of darkness yesterday in verses 1 through 7. Today, we're going to look at what Jesus brings not only to this demon, but what he offers to all of us. And that's the life-giving power of light. He is the life and the light of men. And, you know, when you think about Jesus, so often we immediately jump to the cross, and the cross is very important. It was where he atoned for all of our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not trying to diminish that in any way, but Jesus, when he came to earth, God came to earth in the form of man. He pierced this darkness. Remember, Satan was given temporary, pretty much, but very control of the earth. You know, he was always under the authority of God. And we know that from Job, when he wanted to hurt Job, and God said, you can do this, but you can't do this. But when Jesus came in the form of a human, he pierced the darkness and Satan shook. I mean, we get this idea that Jesus and Satan are in some kind of cosmic battle. And no, the battle's over. The battle was over before it ever began. It was never a battle where, Jesus is up here and Satan's coming along here. No, the battle was over when God cast Satan down.
Mm-hmm.
He gave him a temporary authority over the earth, and very limited. But man is in the midst of this. And so Satan tries to destroy man. He wants to kill man. He wants to destroy the witness of God's people, those that God created for his purposes. And so we see in this story of a man who was tormented for years as a possessed man. He wanted to kill himself. We said yesterday, what did darkness bring this guy? Well, why did this guy have these demons? Well, he lived in a dark culture. He lived in a culture that worshiped idols. It was had a long history. We covered that yesterday of it being in the Decapolis. At first, it was the, you know, the Perizzites, Hittites, Canaanites, the Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites, all those people just moved over into this area. But then it was conquered. It was conquered by the, you know, it had the Assyrians that came in there, the Babylonians, the Persians, and the then the Greeks, and then the Romans. All those were into idol worship. And idol worship is demonology. That's all it is. It's demon worship. And so it was so dark. And so a bunch of demons got into this guy, and he was condemned to this graveyard in a living hell. It says he was, there was no sleep. He was restless. He was naked, according to Luke. He was homeless. He was uncontrollably violent. He was suicidal. That's what the darkness brings. And that's what Satan brings. But what does Jesus bring? We're going to look at verses 6 through 16 today. And as we look at this, Brad, I want you to keep in mind John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, and listen to what the Apostle John wrote when he said that in him, talking about Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness cannot overtake light. Light will always win.
Love it.
And that's why it's such a great analogy, this life-giving power of light. So I'm going to have you read verses 6 through 16, and we're going to go through and see how Jesus brought light to this, not only this guy, but the Decapolis, this area, and what people did with the light.
Yeah, beginning in verse 6, and when he, speaking of this demon-possessed man, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I assure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. Verse 14, the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Verse 16, and those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. These are the very words of God.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is what happens. What John wrote about in John 1 is visibly demonstrated right here. And you know who was watching from the boat? John. He was, the disciples were all there. It doesn't say anything about them getting out of the boat. They were probably terrified.
Right.
Just, I mean, so they move from one terrifying situation to another, right? They go then, they see this encounter, And again, make no mistake, Jesus wasn't battling the demon here.
Mm-hmm.
The demon knew who he was.
Right.
And so, by the way, what does it say? The man saw Jesus from afar. So he's up there, and like he did with anybody else that came close by, he went to pounce on him. He went to pounce on him. He goes down there, and all of a sudden, one, because demons aren't omniscient. You know, they're not. But as they got close, they knew, oh, no, this is Jesus. The man fell down. And the word there is proskuneo, which means to prostrate yourself, to bow out of respect. For you and me, it would be to worship.
Mm.
But they don't worship Jesus. They just bow out of submission to him. These demons bow down.
Well, they fear him, right?
They do.
Yeah.
They feared him. And that's how they knew it was Jesus. These demons, the man didn't know who Jesus was, the human.
Yeah.
He had never seen Jesus before.
The demon knew.
Yeah, but the demons knew because they'd been around 1,000 years. They knew who Jesus was. And demons cannot keep quiet in the presence of Jesus. And we've seen it already, and we're going to see it again. They have to speak the truth in his presence. And so they fell down. And Jesus did what no chain or no other human could do. He subdued the demons in this man. That was it was great.
You go from subduing the storm to subduing the demons.
That's right.
Good text here. Hey, join us in this third and fourth segment, 844-777-7928. That's 844-777-SWAT. You can email us also at ask@swatradio.com if you have any questions or comments. Again, email us at ask@swatradio.com. We'll be right back after the break.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Biden and Chinese President Xi have discussed a range of issues in a phone call. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports.
It was the leaders' first conversation since their November summit in California. A senior administration official says Mr. Biden discussed Taiwan, AI, and security issues, including Beijing's operations in the South China Sea and China's support of Russia's war against Ukraine. Serious challenges remain between the two countries, but U.S. officials are hopeful that ongoing communication between the leaders will lead to cooperation rather than conflict. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Also at SRNNews.com, Iran has vowed to respond to a deadly airstrike widely attributed to Israel. The demolished Iran's consulate building in the Syrian capital and killed 8 people, including 2 Iranian generals. The Lebanese terrorist Hezbollah group also pledged punishment and revenge. The judge in Donald Trump's hush money criminal case has expanded the former president's gag order. That's after the former president assailed the judge's daughter and made a false claim about her on social media.
Judge Juan Bashan says his original gag order issued last Tuesday did not include members of his family, but Trump's subsequent actions warrants including them. Bashan says that Trump's pattern of attacking family members of presiding jurists and attorneys assigned to his cases serves no legitimate purpose. Prosecutors urged the judge to clarify or expand his gag order. After Trump wrote on his Truth Social platform that Lauren Michon makes money by working to get Trump and wrongly accused her of posting a social media photo of Trump behind bars. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
And this is SRN News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
Expect a few delays because of a crash on I-10 westbound at Stockton Street. Also, there's a broken down vehicle on I-95 northbound before the south end of the Fuller Warren Bridge. And there's a disabled vehicle in Nassau County on I-10 westbound before the Baker County line. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 70. Wednesday, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms, high 78. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Glad you tuned in with us this afternoon. Again, call us at 844-777-7928. Email us at ask@swatradio.com. Today, we're looking at Mark chapter 5, verses 6 through 20. 6 through 16. And we're looking specifically at the life-giving power of the light of Christ. You mentioned John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I love the version that says, and the light, the darkness could not comprehend it. Mm-hmm. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the Decapolis. We're going to go across the sea to Decapolis, this dark, really dark place.
Not a believer over there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there wasn't. I mean, Jesus, this was the first time he had gone into this area. Mm-hmm. So think about that. You go to a place where there's no Christian influence. There's no believing influence. There's just pagans over there. The Jews drove those people out. There were pigs everywhere, so the Jews aren't going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That their sacred animal for sacrifice was the pig. We talked about that yesterday. And so this is a dark, dark area. And so Jesus gets out of the boat. Immediately the guy comes down. And when he gets there, the demons prostrate the man's body in front of him. They bow down because they knew who. The demons aren't repentant. They're just scared.
Let me just point out. You mentioned before we went on the break. This they fell down. Proskuneos.
Yeah, proskuneo. Yeah.
Kind of a submitting or a bowing out of respect.
Yes, it means to literally to prostrate oneself down. But they do it out of submission. They cannot keep quiet in his presence. I mean, like, they, what do you want? But mm-hmm. I do want to point out one thing. This is what Paul is talking about in Philippians 2:9, when he says, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And what? And in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Mm-hmm. So this is what he's talking about. These are demons that were cast down with Satan. They've taken control of this man, but they got down and they cried out, verse 7, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? Literally, what business do we have with each other? That I'm like, what are you doing here now?
Well, I go back where it says in verse 4, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength. No one had the strength to subdue him.
Except now.
Except now.
And when Jesus was there, and by the way, Brad, in the Old Testament, demons were never confronted directly. How many times have we seen Jesus already take control, get out, cast him out? Why? Because the demons know the truth. They know what their ultimate destiny is, and they've been given this temporary ability to inhabit people, not believers. Mm-hmm. You can't be possessed if you have the Holy Spirit living in you.
Right.
But if you don't, you can. And they begin to beg. Why do they beg? Matthew says, they said, have you come to torment us before the time? In other words, they knew what their destiny was, but they didn't know when it was.
Yeah.
Even Jesus said, I don't even know. The Father is the only one that knows. And so Jesus said in verse 8, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And so having a demon inside or being demonized is another way it refers. These phrases occur together 30 times in the Bible. And they both mean when a demon takes possession of a human body and uses that body to do what it wants to do, to kind of show its stuff, whether it's these, really, really evil things of hurting people, being a sociopath, whether it's breaking shackles or chains. But Jesus is the authority over all. And so when the demons are in front of this guy, they fall out and just fall down in respect. They bowed down. And that had to be an awesome sight. So again, the disciples, can you imagine? They're just sitting there. They're just sitting there. I remember one time when I was in the FBI, I was out with my family at Christmas. And I don't even know if I've ever told you this, but I was out with my family at Christmas. My kids had the chicken pox and we were in a car and I had to go out and I had a dog, a little puppy, and I took the puppy out to go to the bathroom. And all of a sudden there's three guys drunk walking over toward our van, and we're in a strip mall over off Atlantic. And they said some things to Lori and the kids who were in the van. I'm out there. And they did some obscene things. And so I said, hey, I went over there. All of a sudden, I find myself in this confrontation. They have a knife. One guy whips out a big knife. And I've got my gun in my pocket. They don't know I have the gun in the pocket. And so I talked my way through it. But my whole family was pressed against the back of the van watching. Like, oh my, it's like a TV show. Mm-hmm. The disciples were in the boat watching this thing all take place, right?
Right.
They're watching this take place, and they're seeing this demonic, crazy psychopath bow at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus going, come out.
Yeah.
And they weren't the only ones watching. The herdsmen were there,
too. I was going to say, the disciples likely didn't have any history with this guy. But those in the area certainly did.
But they've already seen demon people, right?
Right,
because Jesus had cast them out. But remember, what did the people in Capernaum say? What did they say? The people in Capernaum said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub. By demons. But remember what Jesus said in Luke 11. He says, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom is among you now. And what he was saying by the finger of God is a reference back to Exodus 8, when Pharaoh's magicians, they could emulate some of the things that Moses and Aaron were doing, but they hit a point where they couldn't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And the magicians go, this is surely the finger of God that is doing this, because we can't do this. Hebrews 1 says, God's word has power over everything, even demons. And so Jesus, after saying, come out, you unclean spirit, he says, what's your name? And the reason he says that is because when you pronounce somebody's name, it's like you've got power over them. Mm. Remember, what about Bradley Earl, is that right?
Earl Bradford.
Earl Bradford. If your mom said, Earl Bradford Sykes, you knew
I was in trouble.
You were in trouble, and now she was exercising that authority to call you by that name. So Jesus says, "What's your name?" And the man who was the spokesman for all the demons says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, Legion was not a person's name. Nobody was called Legion back then. Mm-hmm. It was a military term referencing 4,000 to 6,000 Romans. And when people heard the name Legion, they thought of conquest, they thought of death and slavery that ensued mm-hmm. after they were conquered. And what the demons are saying is, we control this guy.
Yeah.
And when people are possessed, they're basically enslaved to those demonic powers to do what those demonic powers want.
Right. Right.
And so Jesus encounters this guy who's covered with darkness from the inside. He's basically a slave to the darkness. And, you know, we talked a little bit about it at SWAT. You know, Brad, when you go into some of these dark, addictive sins, like pornography,
mm-hmm.
The drug world, alcoholism, whatever, the enemy's all behind it.
Yeah.
It's all satanic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you open up portals. You open up portals when you start delving into that stuff. And no, you may not be able to be possessed if you're a true believer, but you will be oppressed, and it opens up portals for darkness to those around you. And they make no mistake, all they want to do is steal, kill, and destroy, because they represent Satan as they're out there. And so Jesus basically asks this guy, "What's your name?" And he tells him, the demon spokesman says, and the demons then start begging him, "Oh, don't send us away from here." In other words, they're afraid that Jesus is going to condemn them to the abyss, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about when we come back a little bit.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Glad you tuned in. If you want to call, 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT. You can email us at ask@swatradio.com. Love to hear from you. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, Palm Coast Listens at 91.9.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed, for the good Lord has come to see.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Glad you tuned in. Call us this afternoon, 844-777-7928, as we continue to discuss this demon-possessed man and Mark chapter 5. This is, you know, we were talking a lot about darkness and light. One of my favorite verses there in 1 Peter 2:9 says, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And I know we're going to get into that a little bit tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That as we see what happens to this man, who is demon possessed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the disciples have already witnessed the natural world bow down, if you will, to Jesus's power. Now we're seeing a demon possessed man bow down in the same way. But what can he do with that same man? And it's a beautiful, beautiful story.
Well, you know, in our world today, you don't see it a lot in the U.S., although it's here.
Mm-hmm.
You see it a lot in third world countries like Haiti, or you go to Haiti or countries over in Africa. And even, like I said, over in Russia, you saw it.
Is that due to just a lot of the witchcraft, that kind of stuff,
idols? There's a lot of dark idolatry over there. Our idolatry deals with the dollar.
Yeah, absolutely.
it deals with power, money,
position.
Yeah. So anyway, when you start thinking, you know, and we've all seen, you know, there's so many movies out. It started with The Exorcist, but, you know, you see people demonically possessed. You know, believers aren't instructed anywhere to cast out demons. I mean, the disciples did as apostles, and mm-hmm. so did Paul mm-hmm. as an apostle.
Right.
But we are told that we are to resist the devil, to be aware that he's out there trying to harm us and stuff. And it's really important to understand that, you know, when Paul wrote Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, he says, "Be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God." It says, put on the armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. A lot of times when we think of the schemes of the devil, we tend to think big picture. By big, I mean like a big moral failure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And those are certainly out there.
But it's usually smaller failures that lead to the big one.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I think of a guy, a good friend of mine who I know, ended up dying of an overdose.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't start with one situation. Now, mm-hmm. that we're seeing that today in the opioid crisis, but for the most part, it started with a small, you know, departure.
Mm-hmm. And when even I know who you're, you know, I know him, I remember that mm-hmm. whole deal. And, you know, he struggled with addictive behavior that had become Absolutely. A part of his body.
Yep.
And these bodies, Paul even talks about it, they're weak.
Mm-hmm.
These bodies, when we do things that our bodies crave in the flesh, and these addictive behaviors, then, you know, it's like when the disciples fell asleep in the garden, what did he say? Your spirit's willing, but your body's mm-hmm. weak.
Right.
Well, our bodies are weak. These are not the eternal bodies we're going to have. And so while we're on earth, our spirit should be controlling our body. It means to be filled by the Spirit is you're intaking God's word and you're applying that word. Mm. It's not just some, I don't know what the word would be, some foo-foo feeling. I'm feeling really good about Jesus today.
Right.
No, it's I'm taking his word in. I'm applying that word to my life. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It means the Spirit's leading me.
Well, I not to interrupt you, I was thinking about, you brought up Ephesians. I was thinking Ephesians 5:8, where it says, "For at one time you were darkness." Mm-hmm. Not that you were in darkness, it says you were darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. To your point that we're going to walk in darkness as long as we're separated from the light of the gospel.
That's right. But, you know, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we're a new creation. When you come into the kingdom, we walk not as children of darkness anymore. We're now children of light. And even what John says over in 1 John, little children, you are from God and you've overcome them, meaning who? The world.
Mm-hmm.
For he who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. And that's one thing I'll finish up with, Brad, in verse 10. The demons beg not to be thrown in the abyss in Luke's account. And in this account, they said, don't send us out of the country. The demons want bodies to work in. They didn't want to be condemned to the abyss, mm-hmm. which is like a holding area for hell, right? Eternal right. damnation. There's only one thing that Satan fears, and that's Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, because in 1 John, I just mentioned 1 John 4, 1 John or 2, 1 John 3, 8 says, this is why he came. To defeat Satan. And so Satan can only do what God allows him to do. So if you're a believer out there, you do not have to fear Satan. You don't have to fear demons. You have the Spirit of God living in you if you're a true believer. You know, people have said, well, I know this person was a believer and they got demon possessed. Well, no, they can't. Romans 8 says nothing can separate you once you're his, mm-hmm. once he's in you. Now, you can be oppressed by a demon. Paul had a thorn that he asked God 3 times to take away and God wouldn't take it. We don't know what it was, mm-hmm. but the Spirit in you will not, at least let's read Romans 8 real quick. I know we're almost out of time, but Romans 8, listen to what it says here. This is very comforting. It should comfort you if you're out there and you may be struggling because maybe you feel oppressed. Maybe you feel like things are, you know, in your life are really difficult right now. You feel this darkness. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Romans. And these are people who are being thrown into the mm-hmm. circus, who are being thrown into the lions. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who's to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is an encouraging passage right there.
Absolutely.
I mean, like that, you know, when you go through a difficult time, that is a, you go to that passage. Amen. It's Romans 8:31. Through 39, yeah. and just let those words say them,
yeah.
believe them, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So I see so many people who talk about God's love, but they don't really believe it. He didn't withhold anything. We just celebrated Easter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole purpose of us celebrating is to be reminded that he took it all away and he's victorious. Like John says in 1 John, he's overcome the world. We don't have to fear.
Yeah. Yeah. That is one of my favorite little passages of scripture there in Romans, because it's a reminder that we are wrapped in the flesh. My flesh is still very weak, and I've got to turn my eyes toward the light. The darkness is there. And I think it's interesting, maybe we can kind of pry on this a little bit tomorrow, that, you know, so oftentimes, Doug, as followers of Christ, for those who are in the light, we tend to see the darkness that is out there in the world and we stiff arm it. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going there. Yet that's not what's happening here. He went across the sea into the darkness. It's, as you said, it is on offense. We're to be on offense.
Yes.
And speak about that just in closing, that I think we're in the light. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the light is in us. But we're not to be covered up. We're not to be, as what does it say?